Greetings from your daughter church in Rockford, Illinois. It's a blessing to be here this morning and grateful to serve in this way. As you've already heard in our prayer, the church has called a man, Reverend Brian Bell, and he and his wife will be moving to Rockford by the end of the month, the beginning of next month. So you'll be seeing them in the near future. But thank you for your prayers regarding Rockford, for your prayers regarding the ministry there. And we have good memories of you and continue to uphold you in our prayers as well. Let's bow before our God in a time of prayer as we consider God's word today and as we consider that word being preached. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word that you have given to us, and we pray your blessing on its reading to our hearts and our hearing. Give us attentive minds and hearts as well as we hear and attend to that word and the ministry of that word to us. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are sinners. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are far, that we are very short-sighted. And yet, Lord, it is your word that opens up our horizons, that shows us, Lord, the long view. Grant to us, Lord, that blessing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. It says Proverbs 23. I'm going to read the text of this morning's sermon, of the passage from Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25. Proverbs 23 is a portion of the section of Proverbs that is considered the 30 sayings in the book of Proverbs, and this is number 16 of those 30 sayings. And given the fact that we would understand it's Mother's Day today, and many of you celebrating that, many of you remembering that, remembering in prayer as well, I'm going to be speaking on that subject. I notice the bulletin title for the sermon should be, May She Who Give You Birth Rejoice, but I think you understand that. Proverbs 23, verse 22 to 25. Let's hear God's word. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. This ends the reading in God's word. I know approaching the subject of Mother's Day and the subject of being a mother is can be a combination of things. There have been good memories. There have been memories that have not been as good. At the same time, we need to hear this. We need to hear God's word. And under all circumstances, we need to know what God has for us in our lives. He gave mothers for a reason and for a good reason, and we are to acknowledge them. The very title of the sermon this morning comes from the last line of this passage. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Now, we've all heard various sayings with regard to a mother. A mother is a person who, having only four pieces of pie left, sees there are five people at the table, suddenly makes an announcement that she never did like pie. So everybody has a piece of pie that is at the table. Also, mothers are handicapped. They only have two hands. And, of course, that's an argument against evolution, because if that's the case, why do they still only have two hands? And it's said also Mother's Day is when everybody waits on Mother and she pretends she doesn't mind the extra work. Mother's Day. But as we look at this passage, we'll be looking at it in terms of verse 22, the mother's honor, verse 23, the mother's hope, and verse 24 and 25, the mother's happiness. The mother's honor. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. The fifth commandment speaks to us of honoring our parents, our father and our mother. The life that our God has given to us is a life in which men and women are both a blessing and both share the honor of standing before God as sons and daughters of God. They are all made in God's image. God created male and female. Male and female created he them. He created both after his image. But we live in a self-centered, individualistic, and a very now-oriented culture. Michael Horton said, "We can leave our debts from the past in a nursing home and our debts for the future to our children. But now we live it up." In recent polls, barely half of American public believe it is the children's responsibility to look after their parents. And half of the 45 and over crowd said they don't think their children would take care of them either in their old age. We do have a moral breakdown in our society, and you don't have to come to church to hear that. It's probably because of church that you know that that's the case, because when you hear it elsewhere, you know that we have a moral breakdown. We know that in the last times, Paul says to Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. But right in the middle of those that are disobedient to their parents. But it's a long list, and a person can give a real veneer of religiosity in their lives. But in the last phrase where it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And we're going to get at that today. We're not here just to go away having a form of godliness. We're not going away from here just to have the veneer of being people that are polite and honest and the like. We are going to be polite and honest and the like, but because of another reason. And that's because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we confessed it in the Apostles' Creed this morning, as we have sung of it in the hymns. The Bible warns against dishonoring parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and be eaten by the vultures. Proverbs 27, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or mother. Then all the people shall say amen. Deuteronomy, in its list of curses, and list that of a stubborn and a rebellious son. You can read that for yourself in Deuteronomy 21, starting at verse 18. And there are verses that do address that. That fifth commandment that we mentioned before, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We read the law in our worship services for a reason. It does convict us. It does point God's word against us. But it also points us to the one God gave to save us from our sins. And then it points us how we may live before our God as one who is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians rephrases it again, that same passage, children, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. And throughout Proverbs, we have that constant emphasis on listen to your father The first 10 chapters of Proverbs has about 13 lessons that all begin with the same phrase. Listen to your father. Listen to your father and mother. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your father's teaching. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teachings. In the Christian home, that commandment is kept. That commandment should be enforced. In the scripture, we have models of those who have honored their parents. And one of those who have honored their parents would be someone like Ruth, mother-in-law, not even of the same background. Both of them having lost their husbands in Moab. Ruth the Moabitess comes to Judah with her mother-in-law. She honors her. She works hard to maintain the blessings that God has given to that family and even the inheritance that would come, marrying Boaz. And Ruth becomes an ancestor of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have Solomon. Yes, we know the story about Bathsheba and with David, but at the same time, Solomon is her son. And Solomon gives her the honor that she should have. Speak to him for Adonijah the king. And Solomon has a throne brought up to sit beside him, that they may talk. Jacob with his parents, Moses with his father-in-law. Yes, the Bible has many pictures of the honoring of parents. But in the moral breakdown of our society, the commandment is very clear. The command that we are to listen to our father, to give that to our father who gave you life. Don't despise your mother when she is old. But a mother then has a hope in her parenting. And that hope is seen in verse 23, where we are commanded, in view of having to obey our parents, buy the truth, do not sell it, get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Where's the first place you have heard that? Where's the first place you have learned those things? They were in home and your homes. They were with your parents as your parents brought you to church, bring you to church. As they have you sit under godly teachers, godly ministers. And as you have the blessing of hearing God's word from them. I've had that blessing. I mean, I grew up right in this state here in Cedar Grove, Wisconsin. I had the blessing of being in church every Sunday. I mean, I could name some of the high school guys who were sitting in the pew right ahead of us, who were sitting in the back. And as you grow up, you get to be good friends with them. And no doubt you will too as you grow up, children, in this church. As your parents are faithful to teach you, as your parents are faithful to bring you to others to teach you, they have a hope for you. And that hope is that you would get discipline, that you would get wisdom, that you would get understanding, that you would learn to buy the truth and not sell it. Sounds like two of our parables, the parables that Jesus talked about the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the merchant who found that pearl of great price. When he found it, he would sold all he had to buy it. Nothing in your life more important than knowing the truth of God's word, to know Jesus Christ who is the truth. Buy the truth, don't sell it. And then these three words, get wisdom. The NIV says discipline. Many of your versions may say instruction. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Proverbs is filled with passages concerning that. One of the main and basic passages we all memorized. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Earlier in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. But then we come to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Where is that wisdom ultimately found? There are a lot of things we can teach our children. There are many things we can teach how they are to grow in their lives, how they are to develop in their lives, how they are to relate to God, how they are to relate to one another. But they also need to learn that they are sinners. And a godly mother may be strong on discipline, but a godly mother will also be one who is loving and will love at a time when a child will have sinned and will love enough to also acknowledge the fact that she too is a sinner. And if I may speak to the children a moment, you realize this morning when your parents bring you to church, they are bringing you to church not just so you may learn, but because they too want to worship with you. They bring you to church this morning because they too are sinners. They too need to confess their sins before the Lord, and they too need Jesus Christ. And our children need to learn that. Our children need to see that even in the very example of our parents. It is because of Christ, because of the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Christ is that wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. And we're going to come back to that. Or Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. My purpose, Paul says, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our children need Christ. Buy the truth, don't sell it. We can buy our children all kinds of toys, we can buy our children all kinds of things to occupy their minds and to help their minds grow and develop. But the most important thing they have that is going to be priceless is Christ. Buy the truth, don't sell it. Be ready to sell all you have to buy that. Because everything else will one day be wiped away, but what we have remains. Consider the competition your godly mother faces when she desires these wonderful graces for your heart. Consider the competition. Consider the world in which our children live. Consider the many ways in which our children may be taught otherwise. Let your children grow up to know what it is to have wisdom. Be wise before the Lord. To have understanding of the way of life. Yes, let them know their math. Let them know how to read. Let them know how to comprehend. Let them know basics of science and the like. But let them see that in the light of their relationship to Jesus Christ. Let them grow up to be disciplined. Yes, let them know what it is to be disciplined in their lives. To not hold a self-controlled life before God, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Paul and Moses. Moses, you look at his example. The example of Moses, you can read, of course, in Exodus, how he grew up in an Israelite home, but really was found by the Egyptians and grew up in the courts of Egypt. Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. What reward? To be with Christ. To be with the Lord. He chose to be mistreated with God's people. The Apostle Paul, who in one chapter in Philippians talks about all the great things he could be, had he stayed what he was, he could have been right in the elite of the Jews. But he gave that up to follow Christ. He says in Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9, "What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Paul knew what it was to buy that great pearl and sell everything for it. Yes, there are many things that work against that hope. Many things in this world. The atheism that's going on, that's so prominent and more prominent in our world today. The new religions that are coming into our world that may have been in other countries but are coming into the United States today, where mothers may have a certain place in the home, but then you can't talk about Christianity belittling women, not in the face of some of the other religions. Honor your mother. The idea of everybody being equal in the sense that everyone is equal. No, not everyone is equal. Gender identity cannot be confused. We have a cult of youth today, an age in which the old are on less and less. I still remember my dad, he was a plumber. He knew he had to retire at some point. He knew he couldn't do the things that he used to do. At the same time, and he said this not with boasting, but with reality, he says, "But there are some things somebody else has to learn, and I've already learned them. They don't know what I know, or had the experiences that I've experienced." You all know that, you who are older and know what life is, and you know what others have to experience yet. But be with wisdom. Let wisdom be your purchase. And there's only one who can lead us to that, and that's our Savior Jesus Christ, our covenant head. The mother's honor. Honor your father and your mother. Yes, give honor to your parents. The mother's hope is that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Teach them of Christ. Pray with them. And then see your mother's happiness. In verses 24 and 25, we read, "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." The father of a righteous man, he who has a wise son. Two words there. Again, we come back to them. Wisdom. But another one, righteousness. wisdom or righteousness is fearing God. One who fears God is right with God. Having a right walk with God by faith alone, having a right walk before others, living from faith to faith, as Paul would say in Romans 1. Living from faith to faith means that we don't start by faith and continue by works. It means even the Christian life continues as a life of faith in Jesus Christ. We never separate ourselves from the presence of Christ when Christ becomes a part of our lives and Christ enters our lives and takes us. Both righteousness and wisdom are in Christ. To be wise in speech, careful in speech, quick to listen to others, for both are in Christ. If I would read the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, you would have heard, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." In Christ are found both wisdom and righteousness. The mother's happiness is when the child grows in that and sees that. Paul says in 1 Timothy, "Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Yes, watch for each other. Care for each other. Children, yes, watch for your parents. Give them honor that is due to them. Parents, raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Families who value the covenant of grace are families that are going to know that happiness. The happiness that never ends. A happiness and a joy that is going to continue on no matter what the circumstances. Moses, yes, he had his times. We know Moses was angry. We know Moses was not always happy. He heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. And yet Moses looked to the Lord. It was Paul. Yes, he knew the difficulties in the ministry. He knew the difficulties of facing the church. He knew the difficulties that people in the church faced. Just read through 1 and 2 Corinthians. Somewhere in my library, I have a book called of the church that with many problems that we need to watch out for. It's Corinth. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Know the love of Christ. Teach the love of Christ. Hear that love from your parents. Turn that love onto your parents as well. Encourage them as they seek to build you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for the blessing of parents who love you and who want more than anything else that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who take us to church, who put us under godly teachers, who themselves read and pray with us. Father, watch over your children. Watch over your people here. Continue to build up the church here in Janesville. Strengthen and encourage them. We pray with gratitude for the parents you have given to us, for parents who love you first, that they may show a love to us that brings us, Lord, to the wisdom that is in your word, that we may know the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, when we have fallen in this. But, Lord, build us up that we may continue and turn and continue to live before you and before one another, before our children, before our parents, as those who are yours, to the honor and glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.